When I was 7 years old, I suffered an accident. A long splinter became lodged in my foot, shutting down vital growth energy to the various parts of my body. This accident changed me physically. Literally, I imploded. You're listening to the Kundalini Consortium podcast. I'm JJ Semple. Today's episode explores the connection between Kundalini and neuroplasticity. For reasons known only to that seven-year-old boy, I hid its presence from everyone. I was taken to Doctor's Hospital in New York, given penicillin and blood. I drifted into a coma-like state for 3 months. Then, when the wound healed over, I was shipped off to Florida to live with my father. After a while, the doctor there noticed the splinter starting to work its way to the surface, and he removed it. I was a child prodigy in math and an excellent singer, the soloist in the choir. When I started school the next year, I noticed that my ability at math and singing had vanished. I was also an excellent tennis player. No longer. All my talents had disappeared. No one around me connected the loss of my talents with the accident. They told me the loss was due to the school time I'd missed by being in the hospital. Because they sloughed it off, I let it slide. I was only seven, after all. I buried it away in the lower depths of my consciousness. 20-something, I began to wonder why I had limitations others didn't have, why there was nothing I excelled at. Because in the past, I knew I had excelled at math and music. Poof! My talents had evaporated. I didn't know where to find the answer. But some impulse kept me trying to find a way to transform myself back into the person I once was and pushed me to transcend the self-destructive, negated person I'd become. My body had changed, and as a consequence, my whole persona changed with it. Through grade school, high school, and college, my perfect symmetrical body had changed. I was now asymmetrical, a completely different somatic entity, not only my body, my entire being. The accident affected the way I acted, the way I thought about and presented myself, needless to say, for the worse. An entirely negative self-image that besets an individual without talent. Thanks to my accident, I found the answer. This accident turned out to be a kind of neuroplasticity experiment in reverse, in that a part of my brain actually deteriorated due to the lack of normal growth energy, a direct effect of my accident. How is this possible? The splinter shut down a vital nexus in my nervous system, denying growth energy to that whole synaptic neural circuit. You see, each part of the body is governed by a specific area of the brain. If either the part of the brain or its corresponding body part is damaged, the related part also suffers. The answer lies in the way the two are connected. How are they connected, by the way? By the nervous system. That's right. When one node, the brain or the limb it governs, is damaged, the other atrophies either because it's deprived of vital growth energy or it no longer has any work to do. In the case of brain damage, it's no longer able to govern the related body part because the neurons themselves are damaged. In the case of a damaged limb, the brain simply shuts down that part of itself because it no longer has to use the particular neurons that control a limb that no longer functions. What's more, damage to a part of the brain affects size and shape of the overall gray and white matter. and consequently affects the shape of the head and the symmetry of the entire body. Normally, human growth is accomplished in a relatively linear pattern. In my case, because the splinter affected my development, my growth started to deteriorate quite rapidly. My brain matter developed asymmetrically, which affected the size, shape, and symmetry of my head, which changed my bodily symmetry, which also affected my behavior, sexual prowess, self-image, personality, and outlook. Deciphering the Golden Flower One Secret at a Time chronicles how I started to regain my symmetry at the age of 35 and how regaining it altered my abilities and personality once again. According to neuroplasticity theory, it's possible to transfer control of a limb to another part of the brain, but if that occurred in my case, it wasn't enough. The conductor of vital growth energy to both the body and the brain is our central nervous system. This network, the conduits that contain the nerve fibers, can also be damaged and interrupt the process. How do I know this? Because I proved it in the laboratory of the body, my own body. I had to find a way to revitalize the affected body parts. Of course, after my accident, I didn't think about regenerating brain cells or neuroplasticity. I was too busy stumbling through life with a damaged, deformed body. In fact, I stumbled for many years. I looked in all the wrong places. Deciphering the Golden Flower One Secret at a Time is a testament to my follies. It is also a testament to overcoming the obstacles to self-realization. Eventually, I found a system that revitalized my brain from the inside out, a Kundalini meditation system for triggering the autonomic self-healing and restorative mechanisms of the body. For 40 years, I have practiced the method in that masterpiece of Chinese alchemy, The Secret of the Golden Flower, the book many adepts recognize as the Buddha's own meditation system, passed down through the ages, a system that Gopi Krishna, the 20th century's great elucidator of Kundalini, described as containing unmistakable hints about the sublimation process, a process that uses sexual energy to wake up the nervous system and revitalize the brain and the body. Sexual sublimation is the key to the enhanced neuroplastic activity that has entirely re-engineered my nervous system, body, and brain. Moreover, Kundalini energy is responsible for slowly reshaping my head and body to their original symmetrical proportions. Don't believe this is possible? Google the terms evolutionary psychology and symmetry. Suppose you accept my account that the Kundalini energy has been able to reconstruct my body, to restore it to its planned original perfect state with all its talents, as if the accident had never occurred. If this is true, when were these plans conceived? Where do the blueprints for my embodiment reside from the age of 7 to 30? In some ethereal computer memory-like storage? In some inaccessible partition of DNA? In some metaphysical counterpart associated with my being? The word incarnation means the act of being made flesh, as in the biblical expression, "and the word became flesh." Same goes for the words embodiment and substantiation. They mean the same thing, the act of being made flesh. Take it a step further and you begin to realize that the incarnation process, the taking on of a form, must include working from some sort of a plan. Shouldn't science explore this? Shouldn't scientists wonder if plans for our embodiment really do exist? And if so, how these plans remain associated with us? At what moment do they come into existence? Do they play a part in healing deformities and illness? Can an active kundalini access these blueprints and then use the nervous system to convey healing energy to affected areas? Does this work continue until completed? Do our bodies hold extraordinary energies little appreciated by science? Do the millions of anecdotal kundalini accounts like mine carry weight even though scientific methods cannot verify them at this time? Can permanent kundalini stave off the effects of neurological breakdown better than cognitive drills, lumosity-type exercises, or effective therapies? Is it true that lumosity-type cognitive exercise companies, and there are many of them, are only for profit? Is it true that kundalini meditation, safely and reliably undertaken, is free of charge, requiring only commitment and diligence to practice it? If kundalini unlocks concealed DNA information, isn't it reasonable to assume it is able to use this information to recondition the physical, mental, and psychic properties of our bodies? Thank you for listening to the Kundalini Consortium podcast. I'm J.J. Semple. For books on kundalini, meditation, consciousness, and energy cultivation techniques, visit our websites, commonsensekundalini.com, goldenflowermeditation.com, lifeforcebooks.com, and finally our blog, the Kundalini Consortium. See you next time. Thanks for listening.